The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but they are designed to make you smile, to make you tilt your head and go, "What was that?" The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think, if we're all blessed enough before the show is over. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use. Wouldn't that be great? You have something, you can actually use it, it would work. Wow! Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Always a valid question. Also, Bible trivia for fake, and yet somehow, real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I'll be your host for the next 5,400 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we just really don't care all that much. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian, that thingy, a very important thingy in our lives. We want to make this simple, not overly complex. We want to give you an opportunity to connect, to hear, to speak, to share, to pray, to become a part of a community, a Christian community. It is not designed in any capacity, this fellowship, to take away from any other churches or any other ministries. We are what you would carefully call an add-on. It's like an add-on, okay? This is one of those things. So we want to be an add-on, if that's okay with you guys. Here's the bottom line. You might have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question. We want you to be able to share that, of course. You can reach out to us by calling 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. We're terrific. T will answer the phone, and that is terrific. You can text us at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Comes live to me right here. I get all the good and all the bad text right here. I don't read the bad ones, though. It doesn't seem like it's worth it. And then, also, you can reach out to us by email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. That, of course, is because we are attached to or a part of or own hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Now, we want you to know that if you have a praise report, a prayer request, maybe you have an answer to Bible trivia, maybe you just like to listen to the Bible trivia and answer yourself, the answer, just make sure you know what's going on. That's cool. If you've got something you want to share, the Lord's working on you, doing things are happening, it's an open forum in that capacity. I want you to be aware. We do drive in particular directions. So today I'm going to be talking to you in Matthew in this first half hour, and then we're going to be in Ezra in the second hour, the second 60 minutes. But I do want you to be aware of a few things before we get going, because I want to reach out to one of our listeners and just let them know what a blessing they have been. Now, they may or may not be able to hear this at this time. I don't know. But I do know this. A gentleman named Mark wrote me a letter. I got the letter today, got all my stuff set up for the show, and decided to read the letter. And it was a wonderful letter. I can try and say his last name, but I think I would do a bad job. So I'm just going to say Mark, because I could read the M-A-R-K, so I know what that is. He sent me a very nice letter telling me that, you know, the Lord has moved in his life in different ways. And of late, he has really been focusing on KAAM 770, and also our show as a part of that. And it was just a great letter and a great blessing. So I don't know if Mark can hear me now, and I know it'll be recorded, so we'll always be able to refer to it. But there's two things that I'm going to ask. One, I'm going to ask the audience to be praying for this gentleman named Mark, who has gone through ups and downs like every one of us has had victories and had defeats, has had things that went well and things that didn't go well. We just want to pray that the Lord and him would just get closer and closer and closer. The most important thing is the one step closer principle, the one step closer concept. So as a Christian audience committed to your brother and sister in Christ, I am asking you as a brother in Christ, without guilt, to please pray for Mark and make him a part of your prayer time. I'm going to pray for him and everybody in just a second. The other thing I want to say is what a blessing, not just for me, but for T and for Jennifer and for Don and for Sarah and for the whole KAAM team that people are encouraged. When you are encouraged in what we're doing, it is a, I know it sounds so goofy, but it's another form of blessing or encouragement for us to know that what we're doing has at times, not always, but at times has an impact. So let me just pray. I'm going to pray for Mark, pray for the audience, then we're going to get into our teaching. But Mark, if you're out there, if you're listening, thank you, brother. God bless you, and we lift you up before the Lord. Father, we come before you right now, and we thank you for every person that's listening. We recognize that not everybody can reach out. We don't look for anybody to give or anybody to, you know, it's not what we're looking for. What we're looking for is for people to draw closer to you and then to take that drawing closer process and share that with others, that we might truly be disciples indeed, that we might draw closer into you, Jesus, reflect you more, encourage others to draw closer to you, and encourage them to reflect you more. That's what we need. We need to be walking in that spirit and that mind. Please encourage our audience as the world seems a little bit of wackadoodle to all of us. Nothing is out of your range, and you are concerned about nothing in the context that all is in the palm of your hand. And we trust you, and we look to you. Pray for Mark, pray for the audience, pray for everybody involved. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay? Okay. It's all right? It's all right. It's okay. All right, good. All right, we've got some teaching that I want to do. And this is going to be kind of a unique kind of teaching. You guys may have heard some of this before, maybe not, but we're going to get going to it. Is there anything else we need to cover? We're good. I think we're good. Okay, here we go. Out of Matthew chapter 3, this is verse 13. A lot of people have questions about this text, so I want to just kind of dive into it. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But John tried to stop him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me? Jesus answered, allow it now, because this is the way for us to fulfill righteousness. Then John allowed him to be baptized. Woo, I love this. Okay, first let's just deal with this. It's so funny. I just found out that in times past, just did this study, that being a student of a rabbi, sometimes the students would have to learn three or four different biblical interpretations on all the texts. And I thought, gosh, I love that, because I love having different angles to look at things and not having to freak out to commit to one perspective. Here is what one of the great perspectives is that I want to just start off with. Jesus comes to John. Now just bear with me. You'll understand. Comes to be baptized by John, but John tried to stop him. Now, you know why he tried to stop him. It's not beyond our scope to understand. We get that. We're going to talk about Jesus and the whole he allowed him to and the message of baptism. We're going to get into that in the next segment because I have more time. But that's not what I want to start with. What I want to start with is how often we do, in fact, without maybe consciously saying it, try to stop God for what God wants to do. John tried to stop Jesus, saying, oh, no, we can't do that. and I'm saying this a little tongue-in-cheek, but also from a very practical point of view, there are many times in our lives where the Lord is moving us in a direction, and we're like going, we can't go over there. You can't do this. Hey, Jesus, you can't touch the leper. You're not allowed to touch him. You can't be doing miracles on the Sabbath. What are you doing? What do you mean fasting? It's like this whole, what do you mean you're not fasting? You're not fasting until later? Why not? It's this whole mindset that there's things that the Lord brings into our lives that challenges us, or maybe a better word than challenges, stretches us. As you go into church history, you find out that there were certain groups that would require their ability to get along with other Christian groups without bashing them. I'm really loving these people because this is a big part of what I am, being a Bapticost, being someone who's very committed to the Baptist theology and very committed to the charismatic and Pentecostal theology in most parts. I would say I love the idea that we could be Christians without requiring other people to be a Christian the exact same way we are. Makes a lot of sense to me, makes a lot of sense within the framework of the body of Christ, as long as they're truly holding on to the head, which is Christ. Okay, that part's good. But I will say in my general walk with the Lord, there are things that he has worked in my life and I've been really willing and so on. Then there's these other things. And it's like sometimes he has me do something I'm not worthy of. That's more like this thing with John where he's like, I baptize you. Oh, that's not him. And then there's other times where the Lord tries to get me to do stuff and I just am trying to stop God from working because I'm fleshly and full of rebellion. Now, when I'm walking in the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit, I'm not doing that. I'm walking in my new man, new creation. But I want you to be aware that does happen. It happens to a lot of us. It happens to the greatest prophets of all of us, doesn't it? What? I'm going to stop you from doing this. Sure you are. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Get up! And the expression of faith and the results of that expression of faith and just responding to ignoring what they had to say, not being afraid, having just a little bit of faith, the results were astonishment that God's workings were so clearly manifest. But I will say this, and I don't have any problem saying this, sometimes you got to just change the atmosphere. And, oh, that's not biblical. Jesus kicked them out because they were all naysayers. That's not a promotion of positive thinking and positive saying. It is a promotion of you're either going to have faith or if you're going to have fear, go over in the other room. Get out. Because we need people to have faith. So he clears the air. He makes this bold proclamation. She gets up and watch this. This is something that I'm telling you. I'm getting this as I'm telling it to you. How Jesus not just raised her from the dead, but then he's ministering to her afterwards. It's not over. The miracle's done. Jesus has gone off on the white horse and is never coming back. He's having her taken care of after she's raised from the dead. He keeps going because Jesus cares about how we're doing. It's not a one and done. That's the old evangelist thing. You blow into town, you blow in, you blow up, you blow out. That's not how Jesus did it. He stuck around. He helped. And the parents and the disciples, can you imagine the amazement? I think the disciples had a little bit more prep. right? Hanging out with Jesus a little, right? But could you imagine Jairus and his wife going, okay, what just happened? Your life changed. That's what just happened. It'll never be the same. You'll never be able to deny that Jesus Christ completely rearranged your entire universe. There's some of you out there, you need him to do that. You need to change your atmosphere. You need to ignore what other people are saying. You need to stand firm in your faith. You need to stop being afraid, stop being immobilized, and you need to clear the air and trust and believe God for an incredible miracle that will change life. Amazing grace. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Now, we got Troy that's hanging on. We're going to bring him in before we do the trivia question. Give him a chance. He's got a question, so we want to see if we can help. If we can't help, then we'll defer it to a later answer. If we can't help, we will. Let's bring him on right now. Hi, this is David. Is this Troy?
Yeah, this is Troy. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Troy. How you doing?
You got your umbrella with you?
Yeah, it was an interesting drive down. It was a nice 1 hour Noah's Ark drive down. That's for sure.
I bet you the rutabagas are really growing around whoever's growing them. No, I heard a preacher over the weekend say, "The Old Testament, we was under the Ten Commandments, but the New." The New Testament, we're under grace, and we don't need the Ten Commandments anymore. What do you say about that?
That's just bad theology, because the New Testament takes it to a deeper level than the Old Testament ever did. We are under grace. There is a difference between the dispensation of law and the dispensation of grace, but in the requirements of the people of God, you find out that in your heart, if you're mad, you're mad at your brother, that could be understood as a form of murder inside you, whereas that level of sin acknowledgement wasn't quite as high in the Old Testament. In many ways, the New Testament's harder. But the whole point of that process is for us to understand we can never do any of this except for our full dependence on Jesus Christ. So it's not that the old doesn't make sense or we have no connection to it. In fact, the book that's quoted the most in the New Testament is the Psalms. To say that is to disregard 150 chapters that are very influential. The idea behind the Ten Commandments isn't that it is negated. Jesus just summarized the 619 into love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. He didn't say don't do them. So it's kind of a goofy way. Now, it's not quite the same punishment-wise, because this is the era where Jesus said, I'm here, anointed by the Spirit, to bring this opportunity to you to free the people who are in bondage, to free the people and heal the people. He did not use that very last line in Isaiah, which says to bring the judgment on the people. That's going to come at the return of Christ. So we know that judgment's coming, and it's pending. But there is a difference, but the obligation is not to negate, but to even fulfill in a greater manner that which God set up before. Does that help?
Well, does he have any point to that?
Well, he's got a point only in the most legalistic sense, to say that the Old Testament law, and it's, you have to understand something about the law. The law is civil, it's ceremonial, and it's moral. The moral law has never changed between the Old and the New Testament. The civil law has changes with the culture, and the ceremonial law has been destroyed. So the primary difference between the Old and New Testament is Jesus wiped out the ceremonial law. That's what people don't understand. Okay?
Okay. Hey, this guy, he's been going to church for 6 years, and one morning the preacher came down off the stage and asked him for he could use his Bible, and he said, yeah. So the preacher turned around and started walking back up the pulpit, and he opened the Bible, and there wasn't nothing there but Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So he walked back over there, and he said, son, all these pages been tore out. He said, yes, sir. Said, I've been coming to your church for 6 years, and you don't agree with nothing in the Bible, so I tear the pages out, and when you get to Mark, Matthew, and Luke, and John, I'm leaving.
That's classic. Good job, Troy. Very good,
you
my
know what
friend.
I mean? The preacher was preaching everything yep. bad about the scriptures, that, and,
that's
and
a good one.
Boy knew different, you know, so he just tore the pages out.
Good job. Very good. That's funny. I appreciate that. Thank you for calling in and participating.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. See? We got people telling jokes on our... It's okay. Trivia question. Who lived in a cave with his daughters? I'm just going to leave that there and let you try and figure that out. Who lived in a cave with his daughters for a time? Who lived in a cave with his daughters? If you think you know, you are welcome to reach out to us. You can call 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483. We're kind of short on time, so I'm just going to go right into the teaching. Is that okay? Okay. I got to check with my boss. Okay. All right. I want to go back to this. This is really important. Now, you can answer the trivia question, but I'm still going to answer this. Jesus came to Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him, but John tried to stop him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me. Jesus answered him, allow this now. Allow it now. Allow it to be now, because this is the way for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then John allowed him to be baptized. If you are not a student of the word and you are teaching people, well, Jesus couldn't do anything unless John allowed it. You misunderstood the text and you don't really know how to study scripture, and you got to be careful about being a teacher of this stuff. First of all, the word allowed is aphiemi. Say that again. Aphiemi. Aphiemi is the word carry on. It doesn't mean allow as in giving permission. It means get to it. In other words, when he said, allow it to be so for now, he's like, do it now so that we can fulfill righteousness. And John did it. Not John gave his permission. John gave his blessing. It's just a poor translation of the world of the word. And I think if you guys went back to your earlier days before you were Christians, you would remember the band Kansas, they had the song Carry On My Wayward Son. It's kind of like that carry on, carry on. John yielded to Jesus. John didn't give permission. John was in submission. And that's a very important distinction. At no point does John say, well, I have the authority to do this and not do this. What John couldn't figure out is, what, you're the lamb. What's going on? Jesus, in presenting himself to be baptized by John, approved of John's message. It wasn't for Jesus' sins that he made his presentation, but to fulfill all righteousness by now presenting Jesus. So John preaches and goes, repent, it's getting bad, it's terrible, it's all blowing up, blah, 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 blah. And then Jesus presents himself as the solution to John's preaching. Now, if you catch this, this is great, really good material. This is about 16, I don't know, scholars put together at one point. What you have to think of is in this terms. Jesus comes, he says, all right, baptize me. Now, this is Jesus giving acknowledgement to John's ministry, which he did three more times, by the way, in verbal approval. Say, this great ministry, doing a great job. You're a great prophet. We love it. We acknowledge it. But Jesus is now the solution to that which John is preaching, which is why John said, he must increase, but I must decrease. My message has pointed to Jesus, and now my ministry withdraws. That's the whole point of the whole process. And so, you know, John's like amazed, and then Jesus goes, okay, well, you're going to do it now because this is how we've got to present righteousness to the people. So go ahead and carry on the task. Pitter-patter. Let's get at her. Get it done. And so John's like, okay. So it wasn't John giving his blessing as much as John yielding to Jesus, telling him this is the way you got to do it. And you think, I know, but the word says allow, Dave. I know, but some words have a little different implication between now and 100 years ago and 500 years ago and 2,000 years ago. And you have to carry that and be at least be aware of that, which is why if you're going to be a teacher in a serious teaching setting, you should at least have cross references, multiple versions, understand, you know, what the words mean, because otherwise you're putting kind of like a judgment on yourself, especially if you go around teaching people, well, John gave Jesus permission. John gave Jesus permission. It's like, that's not how that worked. You're talking about the Son of the Living God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It wasn't John granting it to Jesus. John yielded to Jesus. It was not permission. It was submission. You understand that difference? So he says, John tried to stop. He said, I got to be baptized with you. John knew what was going on. This is Jesus. This is the Son of God. I can't believe it. Jesus said, let's do this. We're going to present it. The people are going to see it. They're all going to follow in. Do what you got to do, buddy. Get it done. And he did it. And what's amazing is what you don't pull out of the text, or a lot of people don't pull out of the text, is that John gave approval to, or Jesus gave approval to John's ministry. In others, he said, your ministry is great. It's awesome. You did an excellent job. Fantastic work. And now we're going to take it to its conclusion, because all ministry points to Jesus. The purpose of ministry is not so that you can have nice clothing, high education. I mean, that was what it was in the Dark Ages. But now we understand all ministry points to Jesus and presents Jesus as the solution and the answer. Even from the very beginning of Jesus's ministry, it has pointed to Jesus. And even from John the Baptist's ministry, pointing to Jesus. Get that? Isn't that cool? I just if you guys are into the tea, yeah, I did so much study this weekend, my brain is leaking out pages. Well, you can feel sorry for me. My wife doesn't, but you could. All right. Let me answer the trivia question. The trivia question, who lived in a cave with his daughters? Many of you got that right away. Not a very difficult question, by the way. That answer would be Lot. Lot lived in the caves with his daughters. The wife wasn't there because she was turned into a pillar of salt. Why? Because she looked back. Remember Lot's wife, Jesus said, which means don't look back. That's not the way to do this. Walk forward in the kingdom step by step. We're going to take a break, come back, and we got so much to cover in Ezra. It's cool. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, top of the hour. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Just as I am, he reached down. The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Then they complained to Moses against Moses and Aaron, and they said, it had been better for us to die in Egypt or even here in the wilderness. Their theory in that thought process is they're thinking, it'd be better for us if we just died in the wilderness or back in Egypt where we know where things were at, as opposed to going to a new land and being consumed by these big people. This is a terrible idea. There's some commentators that believe that their complaining really has to do with they thought it would be better to die over time in the wilderness or over time in Egypt versus going to the land and being immediately killed by these big people. And they were bumming. And look what they said. Wouldn't it be better to go back to Egypt? How quick we forget what the bondage is once you're out. Oh, how quickly do you forget the bondages that God brought you through once you're away from it? Like, I don't remember being that bad.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.